Today's program has been brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit internationalculinarycenter.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Word of Mouth with Lady Sue.
Live from Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to Word of Mouth with Lady Sue on heritageradionetwork.org. You can also download and listen to the show through iTunes or Stitcher. I'm your host, Lady Sue. What do? When I'm not hosting Word of Mouth? I'm out and abouting, having the very conversations you hear on my show, and working with my clients, which include chefs, somms, big brands, startups, all those doing what's most delicious and innovative. First, we'll ease in this morning with a little musical something-something.
Brother, what do you think you were doing? You're not invincible like you used to be. You know I speak the words that come to mind when you're with me. Take it as you will, but you can't take me too. You were going, you're not as quick as you used to be. You better watch your back, 'cause everyone is on to you. But take it as you will, but you can't take me to. No, 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 no. Do 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 do. Nothing is right. Prepare for the worst while dressing your best. How shallow am I to offer replies when so many more deserve something? You're only responsible when you're supposed to be somewhere. But that is when our time is nullified. That's right. Gotta wash it. Comb your hair, mind your manners, but don't stare. You're not a child anymore. You better pull it together, man. You're not a child anymore. You better pull it together, man. You're getting old, and that's for sure.
That was Tanner Wally, your friendly neighborhood crooner sommelier. He might have poured you some world-class Riesling at Terroir in the Evil, the East Village. And he'll be back on later to wine it us down. Today's in-studio guests on Hashtag People We Like will welcome Yannick Benjamin, sommelier at the University Club, founder of Wine on Wheels, and you also see him at Ladue's Wines in the West Village. But before catching up with Yannick, we'll go over to the two Michelin star, three New York Times starred at Terra, to talk to chef partner Matt Leitner. You might get 20-some courses at his tasting menu restaurant. Off work, though, Matt loves watching football, and we'll talk about what he's cooking for the Super Bowl. I'm at Atera with Matt Leitner, chef and partner. We're going to find out about what a 2-Michelin-star chef eats for the Super Bowl. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for taking the time.
Of course.
So, Super Bowl's coming up. What do you think, what are your plans?
Right now, not really any current plans. I know we're doing the 50-yard lounge the day before.
Nice.
Which should be fun. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, maybe just take it easy. So I've been known in the past to go a little too crazy. And, you know, you start drinking really early, and then you stop really late, and you eat a bunch of food. So it'll be interesting to see actually what I get into. So I think the less plans this year will probably be the better shape.
Mm-hmm. The less plans, the better shape. Okay, so do you cook?
Yeah.
For the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, it just depends. You know, I think because I cook so much and I'm around food all the time that it has to almost be either I'm just dying to have something that no one's made for me, or I just get like a, you know, some kind of interesting idea that I just want to do and share with people.
The most satisfying, you know, thing when you're not the one cooking.
Well, you know, that's a good question. I don't know. For the Super Bowl, I remember when I was at Castagna for quite a few years that they always do their chicken wing cook-off.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so all the employees, front of the house or back house, will kind of get together and then do their chicken wings. So I think if you have the facility to do it, I think like homemade chicken wings, and like being able to try like 10 different kind of varieties was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, so this was like a Super Bowl tradition?
Yeah. Yeah, they have like their like employee party on the Super Bowl Sunday. So,
Who won?
You know, it kind of changed quite a bit. But I think there was a couple years I was there. There was a couple different people. So it was usually whoever did the best classic version of it,
mm-hmm.
crunchy, you know, fall off the bone, sauce,
right.
Spicy, not too spicy, not
right.
too messy, not. No,
balanced, a little bit
yeah.
of sweetness.
Yeah.
That good acidity, but not like all acidity, and good umami, and soft inside, but totally perfect crunchy outside.
Definitely.
Ah, okay. Who are you rooting for? That's such an important question.
Well, it's interesting because like I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and if Peyton Manning for the Broncos wins, then maybe he'll retire. So I mean, Kansas City might have a better chance. But living in the Pacific Northwest for a while, you know, the Seahawks fans are pretty amazing. It's a really good team. So probably I'm going to go for the Seattle. One of those, like, gluttonous kind of things is that, you know, like the 7-layer dip. And I don't know who doesn't like 7-layer dip. I mean, it's like 7 layers of, like, pure...
Everything
bad,
awesome. Just
yeah,
layer,
bad
layer.
Things for you. And, you know, I mean, even going, you can go to, like, grocery stores and get 7-layer dip, and it's still good, you know. But when you do it on your own, you can make it fun. So, you know, you can pick different kinds of meat. I mean, you can braise pork.
Mm-hmm.
You could do short rib. You could do just ground, a couple different kinds of ground meat. Beans, you can do all the beans yourself at home. You know, you can get, like, actually, you know, really good sour cream to put on there. Some, like, really good aged cheddar. You know, and then just lots of fresh vegetables,
mm-hmm.
Tomatoes, jalapenos, and, you know, it just goes on and on and on and on. I think the last time I made it so huge that it was, like, cascading over the thing. We had to, like, transport it, and it was, like, getting cheese all over the car, the taxi, and everything. It was a little out of control. Because you can kind of do whatever you want. But it's just, you want it to taste better, you want the product to be better,
mm-hmm.
And there's not too many places that you can go and kind of get that. Like, you can't go to the grocery store and be like, oh, I want the 7-layer dip. And they're just using kind of all their leftover stuff to kind of throw in there, and
yeah.
then, you know, we're the fools who go out there and buy it, and it's still delicious, so it's kind of like, it's like, well, okay, well, if it's still that amazing and the product's not that good, how much more amazing is it going to be with better product,
mm-hmm.
Better seasoning, you know, so...
Top 5 tips for making that 7-layer dip, like, way more awesome. You know, besides the... Oh, maybe it's... Okay, one is use good products.
Well, yeah, and I also think plan for it.
Okay.
Know? Don't let it be something that you just kind of whip together at the last minute, because you're not going to make it from scratch, because then you're going to get canned beans and just ground beef.
Right.
So I would say, you know, start early in the week. You know, start, like, on that Monday... You know, do your beans, put some bacon in it, cook them, let them be in the refrigerator so they get nice and they take up all that flavor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're still going to be fine. you know, even like set up a crock pot, you know, and put your pork in there or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I think one year I took a pork, like a pork shoulder, put in a crock pot, took it out, and then I just kind of crisped it up again with all the spices, almost like a carnitas, and put it in that.
Right.
And it was really, really good because then it started to like slowly like absorb some of the liquid and stuff in it and take on the flavor. It was good.
Mm-hmm. So crock pot with the pork, planning, the beans need to be, you know, real beans instead of canned beans. In season veggies, I mean, we're in the
You just keep it simple, you know. You do the iceberg, you get good like cheese.
What kind of cheese do you use?
Just like some aged cheddar in there.
Okay.
Or just, you know, the regular Tillamook cheddar or something works really good too.
Mm-hmm.
But don't go too crazy with like weird shit in there because it's not, it'll never be as good, you know. When you put weird shit in like classics like that, that will always be the thing that stands out. Yeah, it was good, but why did they put, you know, this in there? You know, that's always the thing.
Yeah.
You
know? No trying too hard.
Yeah.
Just seven layers of everything you love.
Yeah.
And don't think too hard.
Well, you have to stay with the basics first. So you Google seven layers, whatever the hell they put into it, classic. You should stick with those and just do it better. The thing is, it's like when you make it, you kind of eat it. But it's like one of those things, it's kind of like chicken wings.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you never get full off of eating chicken wings. You know, like little tiny morsels and you're like, oh, it's not much. And before you know it, you've eaten like, you know, 50 birds worth of wings.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. It's like I made so much, and I was like, oh, there's no way they'll finish all this. And it was like completely gone. You know? So it's like, why even? It's like one of those dishes, like, why even need anything else?
Yeah.
And I think people put everything else around the dip is because, like, maybe they'll fill up off of other things and won't overdo the dip, but it never happens. So you end up overeating the other stuff and then overeating the dip, too.
Right.
So, but yeah, that's one of my things that I like to do. It's like every once in a while, it's good. I think it's kind of just one of those nostalgic things. Like, when I was growing up, if there was ever a special event, you know, no one was really kind of cooking, and my dad would always be in a rush and grab, like, that tray, like, plastic tray with a little see-through plastic cover on it, and be like, oh, here you go. So, I mean, it's like a...
Where'd you grow up?
In Nebraska.
Okay. So, your dad and your family are huge Super Bowl watchers and eaters?
Yeah, my dad's side, definitely.
Yeah.
My mom, she watches, but she doesn't really care too much about it.
Even though we are not to make the classic too twisty, what's one secret ingredient, one spice, one thing, just that is a twist but not too twisty?
Well, I think one of the good things that you can use to like really like bring up the flavor is, and this is actually used a lot in Mexico when they season their tortillas and stuff. If you season your tortillas with a little bit of the Goya chicken bouillon powder.
Okay. Does that stuff have MSG in it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's their secret weapon.
But it's like good. It's like chicken, you know. It's like I had these warm tortillas before when I was living in Southern California. And they were always like, why are these ones so much better? And then we finally like saw boxes and boxes of the Goya, you know, stuff. And, it, you know, it's like crunchy and warm. It's almost like eating chicken skin.
Yeah. Yeah. Umami punch always helps.
Yeah.
Huh. That's really sneaky. That's a good one. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. Or you could be make like over here and in your restaurant and make your own powdered chicken.
No, we use the Goya here.
No, you don't. Yeah. No, wait, really? No, you're kidding me?
No. Not at all. We were actually, we would take lobster and season our lobster with it. Oh. People are like, wow, this is so amazing. It's like, because it is, it's great. Yeah.
Oh my God, I remember that lobster. It's the one that's from a faraway place.
Yeah, it has like the corn on it.
Where is it from?
It's from, why am I blanking now? Nova Scotia.
Okay, yeah. So... Goya, chicken powder on everything.
Yes.
It'll make cardboard taste good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome back to the studio. I'm your host, Lei Ti Su, and you're listening to Word of Mouth on heritageradionetwork.org. That was Chef Matt Leitner of the 2-Michelin-star Atera restaurant. You heard Matt mention the 50-yard lounge. check it out. It's like a food and wine festival, but with football thrown in. You can join Matt and other food and game greats like Mark Forgione and Michael White at One Penn Plaza in New York City, January 29th through February 2nd, daily from 8:30 a.m. to midnight. 50yardlounge.com, that's 50. And just in case you want to watch at home but aren't planning on cooking, I got to give a shout out to my friends at Taqueria. Let them do the cooking for you. Bufalitos, they are buffalo-style taquitos that they've been doing on Sundays this football season. Bell and Evans chicken with a secret family recipe buffalo sauce, blue cheese ranch dipping sauce, and lightly pickled carrots and celery. And you can get them in boxes of 40 for $75, delivered anywhere in downtown Manhattan. So Matt Conway, GM and sommelier at restaurant Mark Forgione, he also started Taqueria. He and Chef Forge himself ate Bufalitos for the championship games. Not that they're biased or anything, but they really thought they were delicious. Call them up at 212-780-0121. Those are just my friends. This is not a commercial. Some social media deets. Hashtag WOMSHOW, WOMSHOW, at @Heritage_radio, at Late Tisu. Want to talk to my guests at MC Leitner, at Atera NYC, at Tanner Walle, TANNER, WALLE, because that's a really tricky one. Another tricky one for you, Yannick Benjamin, YANNICKBENJAMIN. Welcome, Yannick. Now for people we like.
People we like.
Such an honor to have you on the show.
Oh, come on. Thank you. It's great to be here, honestly.
Okay, so you founded, well, first of all, you have a really illustrious resume. I'm going to just brag about you for a second because I do that for all my guests and my friends.
Okay.
Okay, you worked at Le Cirque and also your dad worked at La Grenier.
Right.
But you have a very storied family background. Mm-hmm. You also worked at Bryant Park Grill and also the Ritz-Carlton and Felidia on your days off there. And what have I missed?
John George, Oceana, and Atlas, I believe, yeah.
My goodness. Okay, so you have, like, the most illustrious resume. But then, more recently, you also founded Wine on Wheels.
Wine on Wheels is the event, and the organization, our nonprofit organization, is Wheeling Forward. Yes, that's
okay.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. And tell me about the organization and why you started it.
Okay, so basically, why Wheeling Forward exists and how it came about is because I'm a paraplegic. I'm disabled. I'm in a wheelchair, and I was in a car accident 10 years ago that left me completely paralyzed from the waist down. And how it all began was that while I was in the hospital, there's no true mentorship. There's no like, oh, this is how you do this. This is what you're going to really deal with. They kind of give you a little insight, but the only way you're going to learn is when you actually go out there. And my roommate in the hospital at Mount Sinai was a young guy too, who was in a car accident, Alex Elagudin. Mm. And that's how we both met. And we both kind of came about and we said, you know, we should really do something when we settle down in our lives. He eventually went back to school, got his law degree, became a lawyer.
Wow.
And then I kept pursuing my passion for wine. And I had this real deep obsession of going back on the floor, working as a sommelier, because that's what I did before. And everyone just thought that was totally insane. So I said, well, I'm going to do it. And Alex, slowly but surely, he was getting himself involved with some organizations, volunteering. And I said, why don't we just start our own thing? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, well, you do all the paperwork. You're a lawyer now, because I'm not dealing with that stuff. So we became a 501c3 about 2 years ago. And I said, well, we'll do all these wonderful wine events, seminars, tastings, some of them that you've been to. And that's how we'll generate revenue for Wheeling Forward. And Wheeling Forward's a great organization because, unlike a lot of organizations, and not to knock them by any means, they're really big on like the cure, finding the cure. We're all about the now. And we're trying to help people find the passion, find a purpose in life, and say, hey, how can we help you get back into school, maybe find a certain degree that, or a career that you want to pursue? And that's what we really try to do. We also have one of the largest wheelchair giving programs on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. So basically, people that need equipment, parts to be actually functional in this society, we provide that to them at no cost.
Wow.
Yeah, and we do a really great thing called spinal mobility. because insurances sometimes don't pay for physical therapy. So this is something that we've organized, mm-hmm. and we have physical therapists that volunteer their free time to do this. So it's a really great thing. And so people that support Wheeling Forward through our wine events are doing a great thing. And the sommelier community here in New York and in the United States, for that matter, is very supportive. So that helps.
I love how you're just mixing the awesomeness of the Somm community with the awesomeness of of this community that could use yes. some inspiration. And I mean, wine is such great inspiration as
well. Right,
we
of course. Definitely. Yes, of course. No doubt about it. Yeah.
How much did you raise, last year?
So our first year of doing Wine on Wheels, we were just like, all right, we don't know how much we're going to make. And it's just basically us two, me and Alex, who, by the way, is the most amazing guy in the world. I could not be luckier.
And hi, Alex.
Yeah, he's listening right now. He's at work right now. He's not too happy right
Shout
now.
Shout out.
Yeah. But our first year, we were like, all right, if we just raise $5,000, this is totally experimental. And we almost did $20,000.
Wow.
And then last year, for just Wine on Wheels, we did almost $50,000. And then this year we're like we want to do even more. And our Wine on Wheels this year will be June 7th. Hopefully we're going to do it at a bigger venue, but we're going to do smaller tastings during the day before the actual big event. One of them will be at Ledoux Wines too as well. But we're looking to be very ambitious. You know,
I have to say the Wine on Wheels event is, you know, when you get industry people
right.
all together, it's like... folks like definitely go to this event.
It helps, like, of course.
Incredible walk around tasting is, you know, not yeah. your typical walk around tasting. Everyone right. knows everybody.
Yeah.
And it's all of the top sommeliers in the city
yeah.
all gathered to support.
No, it's really, it's so awesome. And one thing that we did this year too, after the Wine on Wheels, we had a small barbecue with all the Wheeling Forward members so they can actually meet the sommeliers. Because what happens, I feel sometimes a lot of these sommeliers, they do these events. But they never see what they've contributed. And mm-hmm. so then when they came, they're like, wow, this is really cool. And they actually got to meet some of the members. And so this year, hopefully, we're going to have a bigger space and they can actually continue meeting the members and they can see where all the money is going to. So it's a really great thing.
Wow. Okay. So I am looking forward to meeting your family. You talk about them a yeah. lot. They're here in New York.
Yeah.
You were sort of like born to be a sommelier or...
Yeah, you know, Sunday dinner was a big deal. My dad basically only had one day off because he worked the traditional 6 days a week, lunch and dinner. That's how it was at the old school and mm-hmm. in these restaurants like Grenouille, Lutèce, all that, like Côte Basque and
wow.
so on and so forth. And that's what they worked. And, you know, Sunday dinners, you know, I'd have my uncles there and my, you know, the whole family just to hear him talk about the restaurant business. And my cousins got involved too. So it was just a natural fit that I would go into. And I really loved it. So by the time I hit 14... I knew that I wanted to be in the business, and that's what I pursued ever since. And my first real restaurant job was at Bryant Park Grill, and mm-hmm. I just kind of stayed on that path then. So even when I had this accident, I was, what the hell? I'm not going to, like, geez, you know, 20 years of all this hard work, you know, and, you know, and dreams.
Of slaving away.
Yeah, slaving away.
In the restaurant industry.
And, like, what am I supposed to change now? So, you know, one day when my doctor came in, he said, listen, you can still do it. But just adapt to what's around you and make what's around you adapt to you. And that's what I've tried to do to the best of my ability, you know. And so I'm very lucky in that sense, you know. But you also have to create your own luck sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you do a good job of creating your own luck just by looking the part. Okay, so what is this hashtag high and tight? So you'll see Yannick get a jillion likes because people like his high and tight look.
Right.
What
so
does that mean?
I think, you know, high and tight, where that came from is obviously I go to the barber like probably every 6 days. And a big shout out to Daniel Vega who cuts my hair out in Fordham Road. So I keep it real, you know. There's no salon, you know. So I get the clippers, you know. It's number one and a half. But I think that really what the high and tight came about was – you know, after you go through a bad situation, sometimes we have a tendency to let ourselves go. Whether we gain weight, we don't shave, we don't take care of ourselves.
So is getting married a bad situation?
I don't know, yeah. It seems that way these days, yeah. But, you know, I think the high tide is like just like, hey, you know, keep your head up high. Keep yourself together tight, and it's a positive saying, you know. And so I'll tell my, you know, the Wheeling Forward members, high and tight. Go to the gym. Keep that brain stimulated. Read some books. You know, don't stop. Keep going.
Gym 10 Laundry.
That's right, GTL. Yeah, you know it.
And his shoes are really shiny, and they're red laces. I just want to point that
out. Yeah.
He's like the dapperest guest I've ever had on. I'm like impressed. People are always like, Leiji, why are you dressed up for your radio show? Your face is not showing.
Yeah, no, you gotta... if you dress the part, you're going to feel the part, I think, you know? Like over here, he looks like a rock star right now. He's like,
I was going to say, I'm in my PJs.
No, I'm not. He's rocking it over there.
Tanner can rock the bed hair.
Looking sharp, yeah, definitely. Oh,
wow. Yeah, wow. Okay, so, tell me about, let's like rewind back, just because some of the stuff is pretty, I think, inspiring. Tell me about the first glass taste of wine that you had after the accident.
Yeah, so my first glass of wine was, I had a Albert Boxler from Riesling, but then the one that really kind of just got me reinvigorated, it was my first day back outside. I had just gotten, I just left rehabilitation from Mount Sinai. I was there for about 4 months. And so I hadn't tasted any alcohol, nothing, and just pretty much hospital food is what I was eating. So it was almost like my palate was just really pure, you know, almost again. So you remember that first time when you're a kid, you just had that first orange and all that expression just explodes, all those flavors.
My mouth like tenses up.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Especially the first time. And so, I was just sort of feeling down. It was snowing. I'm like, oh, my God, how am I going to get around? I mean, I just feeling so vulnerable and so scared. I'm like, what am I going to do next now? Like now rehabilitate, and you become institutionalized. It's really easy that it happens. And so I sort of became codependent on the hospital. It's just a natural progression. So here I am, I'm with my mom, my dad, you know, and we're all there eating and all that, and my dad's like, let's open up some bottles. Here I am at the hospital, everyone's giving me wine, right? So I opened up this bottle of Joseph Roti, and the smell just exploded. And when I tasted it, I said, you know what, I have to go back to wine school. I have to pursue this. I have to figure it out and just go after it and not give up. And that's it. And realize that I was going to deal with maybe not so much rejection, but maybe not understanding the whole situation that I'm in, you know, and it would be up to me to kind of convey that message.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great experience. It's definitely probably, I don't know if it's the greatest glass of wine, but it's the most significant for that matter.
Mm. Yeah. After a quick commercial break, we'll get back to Yannick, talk about those first moments, first thoughts after the accident, and how he got back into the wine industry.
You are listening to Born Day by Taxstar on the heritageradionetwork.org.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
The International Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
Hello. We're back in the studio on Word of Mouth with Leyte Su, Heritage Radio Network. And we're here with Yannick Benjamin. He is a sommelier at the University Club. And you can also find him at Le Doux on the floor at the wine shop, helping people pick delicious wines. So can I just go to the University Club? I mean, it's like membership only.
We can't just roll in. You can't just roll in there. You got to know someone, and then they got to come. Yeah. But they have events and all that kind of stuff. So,
I'll roll in.
I'm sure you're like so well connected. So I'm sure you know a member there. They'll take you there. You know?
I just want my guests to be able to come say hello to you.
Yeah.
The secret password is word of mouth.
Word of mouth. That's right. That's a good one. Yeah, we'll make that. Yeah.
So I just want to rewind back to when what was a car accident. Where was it? Moments.
Yeah. So I was driving back from work, and I had the car accident right on the West Side Highway. Mm-hmm. It was pretty bad, you know, but I remember everything. You know, I was never knocked out. I was never in a coma or anything like that. So I remember the moment that, it happened. I knew at that moment when the everything kind of came at a standstill, that what just had happened to me and what the long-term effects were going to be very serious. I remember being in the ambulance, and there was a young kid, the EMT worker there, I want to say.
Yeah.
And we were just talking, and I remember just saying, like, am I going to be all right? Like, what's going to happen? He's like, I don't know. And I'm like, I know there's something bad. I know this is bad. And, of course, you know, I got to the hospital, and pretty much within a few minutes, you know, the whole family's there and everything. And, of course, I, like, put on a, you know, pretty brave face. But, of course, I'm scared. But it was really strange because, you know, I didn't have any marks on my face or whatever. But, meanwhile, I was not feeling anything and not moving anything, you know. So I knew that something very serious was happening. I had trouble speaking because my lung had collapsed. So they put me on a trach to help me breathe a little bit. And so it was a little crazy. And, you know, my mom was right next to me. It was probably 3 hours after doing CAT scans, MRIs. And this one doctor, I don't know who this guy was, if he was some kind of resident. And he came in and he was like, well, you know, the good news is that, you know, you're a big guy, you're strong, and you have your upper body. But the bad news
and
is
good looking. You said that, right?
Like, no, you didn't. I don't know if. Yeah, I probably did say that. I don't want to say it on radio. But,
don't you edit yourself? So I did my research.
I know, but and then he said, well, chances are of you ever doing the marathon's never going to happen. And you know, as soon as he said that, it was probably a good thing on one hand. In the sense that it made me angry, because sometimes we need anger in life.
Uh-huh.
The only thing I didn't like was my mom was right there, and I'm like, oh my god! And of course, she just started bawling, you know? And then that after that, it was just like a long road after that, you know?
Yeah,
it was crazy.
So then you're like, all right, well, I'm going to get back on my feet, so to speak.
Yeah, so basic.
But not, but, you know, you.
Yeah, yeah, no, no. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I went right back to, you know, after I came out, I signed up with the American Sommelier Association. I did classes at the International Wine Center, get myself back mentally focused. And then I went back to the Ritz-Carlton to work part-time to get myself back conditioned into work stamina. And I started doing a lot of sommelier competitions, you know, trying to figure out devices that I can use to carry glasses and all that kind of stuff.
And you Googled wheelchair sommelier.
Yeah, and I Googled wheelchair sommelier, and there was no one around, you know. So it was like there was really no reference point for me, for that matter. But
I just want to mention that when you went back to the Ritz-Carlton, you were working in the office.
And I was working in the office, yeah. I was not working on the floor by any means. I was still so new to this, you know. And even though some people say, there's practice to be that you need to control some of these wheelchairs, because it's basically an extension of your body, you know. Yeah. So you have to learn how to control it. And then... So doing that, and I, you know, unfortunately, in 05, I got very, very sick. I had a very bad infection in the left leg.
Okay.
I had major surgery, and I was in the hospital on and off for about 2 months.
Yikes.
And I had become mentally exhausted. So basically, I took a step back and decided to take a break. And luckily, just when I had came out of the hospital, at that point, I received a phone call from Jean-Luc. And I went down there. We talked and all that.
Who, by the way, used to be the sommelier at Daniel.
He used to be Jean-Luc Ledoux, who used to be the sommelier at Daniel for over 10 years, the wine director.
Wow,
yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Big, big deal.
And then worked up his own wine shop.
And then he opened up his own wine shop in the West Village. It's been open since 2005. You know, it's a great place. And I've been there. And then, you know, I was working there for a little while. And then now I'm still there, but I work on weekends. And I do my seminars there on Saturdays from 3:30 to 7. So come on down if you want. And then I started there, and then within the last few years, I was like, God, you know what? I really want to pursue getting back on the floor again. And luckily enough, this position at the University Club had opened up. And lucky for me, the general manager, John Dorman, was a judge at one of the sommelier competitions. So he had seen me do my thing. He saw my tray that I had custom designed, actually by a guy named Jean-Paul Violet, who lives out here. He has his own little atelier, who's an amazing guy, made the most special tray for me.
Wow.
Never charged me anything. Total passion project.
Yep.
And that's it. And doing my thing.
So awesome. What makes, you know, Jean-Luc Ledoux different, that he's able to, after you'd applied to so many places and, you know, they probably didn't want to take a risk on a hire.
Of course, of course.
What made him believe in you?
I think one is that, you know, I think luckily, you know, like Tanner over here, he's a musician and he's a lover of music. And I think he has this artistic side that really makes him think outside the box and thinks abstractly. And I think that was super helpful. And when he saw me, he just saw a guy that, like, loves wine, that's passionate, and that wants to take care of the customer and that wants to still be involved in this. And that's what he saw. And that's all he saw. And he said, well, you know, okay, fine. Maybe they're physical limitations that you have, but these are all things that can be fixed and or helped out with anyway. And that's what happened. And so I think him being artistic was very, very helpful, and him being so abstract was extremely helpful. And that forever, I'm forever grateful for that, because I don't know what would have happened if that opportunity didn't come up around that time. You know, I'm pretty certain that I would still be in the wine industry. But, you know, it's easy to get discouraged, you know, especially a couple of times you go into certain interviews. And there was one time where one guy sort of laughed. It was a nervous laughter. He's like, is everything okay? Like, whoa, were you in a skiing accident? And I remember just like, all right, and I just kind of wheeled away. I was like, this is not going to happen.
Wait, hold on.
I can't, no, I can't say it. It would be wrong of me. No, but it did. It wasn't a laughter like, aha, you're in a wheelchair. It was a laughter of like a nervous laughter. He came into the office. You know, I had applied for this job. They call me up.
Oh,
and I'm sick. And he's like, oh my God, is everything okay? And he just couldn't stop laughing. It was clearly a nervous laughter. And I said, all right, you know, I'm just this is, you know, so that's, you know, things like that, you know. But
so we all have our life is full of highs and lows, and
of course, definitely
there's probably been like very low points.
Absolutely.
How do you get yourself out of that by way of action or by thought?
I think the most important thing, I mean, for myself, is that I really love life and I feel really lucky. And I think even before my accident, I always used to always say to myself, say, my God, I'm so lucky. I've never had any issues. I mean, really, you know, I never had any problems. I was like so fortunate. I always had a mom and dad, and I've never experienced divorce. Like things that are almost seem normal for life. I didn't experience any of that
indeed.
Stuff. So I felt very fortunate. Yeah. And, but I always say to myself, like people ask me like, what keeps you going? Like, why do you do all the things that you do? And I say, you know what? When people go up to my mom and dad and they ask, oh, how's Yannick? How's he doing? What's going on with him? And I want them to say, oh my God, he never stops. He's such a pain in the ass. Like, I would hate for them to have to say like, he's okay. He's at home just relaxing. He's watching Maury Povich and Jerry Springer, but he's okay. And I would never do that to them, because they were immigrants that came here with no high school degrees. My dad dropped out of school when he was 13. My mom, 16. And I have to do better than them. And it's just how it is. And so I keep that in mind, you know, and I have to make them proud. And I, you know, yes, I am a mama and a papa's boy, but they are some of the most hardworking people I've ever met in my life. And I follow their lead.
Mm-hmm. So the journalist in me must report that Yannick is happily dating somebody. So,
that's a journalist in you.
Yeah,
that's some fine journalism.
So some dating advice for our listeners.
Oh, dating?
Yeah.
I think in New York, there's so many different faces, and we're almost forced to put a facade. But you know, even like after my accident, dating, you know, obviously it's a little unorthodox, my situation, all that, but I think one thing I've learned is that the more I'm natural, the more you're yourself, the more you're honest, everything else is going to become secondary. Whether you're just like, I don't know, just some kind of garbage man on the, you know, who, I don't know, anything doesn't make a difference. I think people are only judgmental when you start to kind of put a little facade, just like, whatever, this is who I am, you know, this is what I am, this is what I can do, and this is what I can do for you. And I just try to be as natural as possible and as real as possible, and that's the most important thing. And trying to pretend that you are something that you're not is not a good idea, and I think that's very healthy, to be honest. And I think sometimes in this, New York is so intense that I'm not saying people are liars, but they're sort of forced to either hide certain things about themselves or not say certain things. And I'm like, just whatever, just go out and say it. You know, it's like Elliot's, I mean, the governor, and I'm like, just say you did it. Just get it over with, because we, and then once you get it out of the way, you know, everything, you know, who cares? Just say what you have, you know, and that's what I do. And I think it's been very healthy for me, you know, and yeah, I'm in a good situation, definitely, for sure.
he's so smiley. dream job, last question, dream job, if you weren't in doing what you're doing now?
I think in the most perfect situation, I think I would love to have a place, like somewhere in the Bronx, you know, and I would love to like have, you know, and people, you know, like Dominican people, Puerto Ricans, and some African Americans and West Indian, Asian. And then I'm like strolling down the aisles and everything's completely wheelchair accessible and everyone's high-fiving me and calling me Benny B. You know, I got that name. That's why we call Benny Blanco, you know? I don't know if you remember that movie for Carlito's Way. So I just think, yo, what up, Benny Blanco? Yo. I'm like, yo, you want some? I'll give you some. Don't worry about it. You know, I'm just, you know. But I think in the Bronx, there's definitely a need for something very casual, but like a fun wine place, beers, cocktails, and something that really fits the bill. And I think to me, you know, I went to high school in the Bronx. I grew up in Hell's Kitchen, but for me, like, I love the Bronx. I think it's very raw and it's very unique, and you still have neighborhoods out there, and I think that's what's cool about it.
So how do people stay in touch with Wheeling Forward?
Okay, just go on wheelingforward.org, and then you can also follow me on Twitter. You can also follow me on Instagram, Yannick_Benjamin, and then I have a Facebook page, and then also Wheeling Forward also has a Facebook page. And then you can keep track of all of our events and everything. We're also going to do an event on March 9th at Ledoux Wines, a little concert with the sommelier Etienne Guérin, who works at, what's that steakhouse? Now I'm blanking out, out in Long Island City.
Steakhouse, Emwell's?
Emwell's, there you go. Yep. And he's going to do a couple of songs, and we're going to pair songs, I mean, wines that go accordingly to that.
Cool.
Yeah, so we're doing all these great events, and it's really exciting. And, you know, you can always see me Saturdays at the wine shop, you know, and this Saturday I'll be there. We're doing a big Super Bowl party. So come on down, 4 to 7, some chili made by Jean-Luc, and that's it. Just, it's all about a good time. But, yeah, we love your support for Wheeling Forward. It's a really great organization. It's hands-on. And like I said, the founders are in the situation. There's certain organizations where you have people that are not in that situation. So I think that's what sets us apart.
Excellent.
And, yeah.
Thank you so much, Yannick.
Thank you so much for allowing me to talk. Yeah, I love it.
Thank you. And to wind it down, we're going to have a last song from Tanner Wally.
That's right.
Wind down.
That was amazing. That was beautiful. Just real quick, I've been at Terroir for 6 years now, and I just want to say, anybody who's listening, to come see me. This is my last
Woo!
Week. Opened it up with Paul Greco, and this is my last week, and come see me this Friday. I'll be there. It's my last night.
He's made many a makeout happen.
Yes, I have. And I'm also playing a show this Thursday night at Rockwood Stage 3 at 8 p.m. sharp, so please come check it out. Tickets are on sale via my website or via rockwoodmusichall.com. So I'll play one more. Yeah?
Woo!
Your face, you are so sweet it stings. Cover you while you capture the flag. The landscape of golden nights gave it away. Hurry up, you'll never learn unless you crawl. Running out of air, better hurry to the surface. Ooh. You can struggle all you want, but you're leaning toward a purpose. Ooh. Ooh. You're climbing to the top from the bottom of a crater. Ooh. And you rise like you're riding elevators. Your universe red diamond words you curse. It's not enough. You shouldn't second guess. No. Oh, but in your eyes, a bird behind the bars of a cage, and you're the one that clipped its wings. Running out of air, better hurry to the surface. Ooh, you can struggle all you want, but you're leaning toward a purpose. Ooh, ooh, you're climbing to the top from the bottom of a crater. Ooh, and you rise like you're riding elevators. And you rise, and you rise like you're riding elevators. Ooh, you rise like you're riding elevators.
This is This is Word of Mouth with Leyte Sue on Heritage Radio Network. Until next time, eat well, be swell.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.